I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. This week, we're going to talk about an athlete who has landed on a new team and one who hasn't, both of whom don't seem entirely happy. I'm joined by Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed via Skype. I hope you're happier than the athletes, Shireen.
I have feelings. It's been an interesting year, but we'll get into that.
And The Athletic's Michael Lee. I hope you, too, are joyous, Michael.
Yes, why wouldn't that be? It's a beautiful day.
All right, Michael, go for it.
As one of the best scorers the game has ever seen, a three-time Olympic gold medalist and an NCAA champion, Carmelo Anthony is bound for the Hall of Fame whenever his career comes to an end. He's been a star for nearly 15 years, a one-name brand, Melo. But the game has a cruel way of saying goodbye sometimes. Champions, which Anthony hasn't been in the NBA, and legends get farewell tours. One-dimensional types don't always get calls back. Stubborn scorers unable to adapt often get rude awakenings. That's where Anthony finds himself, struggling to understand his place in a league in which he was once held in high esteem. He wants to play, but the questions now are, what should he have to sacrifice in order to get it, and what happens if the game has already told him to go away?
Shireen?
I love Melo. Melo is the reason I started to actually pay attention to men's basketball. Loved him since Syracuse, was all about that NCAA run. It's sad for me because I think sometimes in this whole industry and business, we forget how players are. And guess what? Players have feelings. You know, not just fans have feelings, not just the front office. So this is really important. And the story that circulated about this, and Karen, you'll talk about Jeremy Lin, who were very forthright. And we don't see that very often from players being very forthright about their emotions. So this was a big one.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin, of course, is also apparently not going to get a farewell tour, although you could say he's less deserving of one. And I have been trying to decide who I feel worse for, Carmelo Anthony or Jeremy Lin. On the one hand, there's a video of Jeremy Lin, and it is very, very sad.
And in English, there's a saying, and it says, once you hit rock bottom, the only way is up.
因为有一句话说,当你跌到谷底的时候,你只有往上爬。
But rock bottom just seems to keep getting more and more rock bottom for me.
That is so sad.
Yeah. You know, especially coming off of a championship team with the Raptors, like my heart broke when I saw that.
Yeah, it was painful.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, Jeremy Lin did far exceed anyone's expectations when he entered the league. It's not surprising that he was never able to get back to the Lin sanity of 2012. But Carmelo had a Hall of Fame career, and I find it really sad that he might not get the chance to spend a season swapping jerseys.
Jeremy Lin had 3 weeks of Linsanity, and Carmelo had a career of it. But I think for an undrafted guy from Harvard to have a 9-year career, which isn't necessarily over, I mean, he probably will find a job if, you know, somebody gets injured or gets an opportunity. It's just, what role is he going to be willing to play? And I think for Carmelo, it's probably tougher because he's been at that top and had people praising him and cheering him when he hits buckets or gets 60 points. And I think it's probably tougher for a star like him to say goodbye, especially when the league is basically has its foot on his rear end and he's not ready.
Okay, Shireen, your turn.
Well, on the topic of athletes who don't want to go, or I'm going to talk about Marcus Stroman, former pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, Marcus Stroman has been in Toronto for an eternity. I think anything more than 5 years is an eternity in professional sports. So Stroman was traded to the Mets. And although he's from not too far away, rumor has it, and not really rumor, because this was basically an interview that his father gave, that he would have preferred to go to the Yankees. And I think that's also really, really hard for these athletes. Like, you have to put on this brave face. So he did put out a tweet, an Instagram post saying that, you know, it'll be good to be playing in my backyard with my family there. But when athletes don't have a say in their own futures, like, that's tremendously emotionally taxing. But also, Toronto is sad because Marcus Stroman is a big part of the Blue Jays, and we just lost Kawhi Leonard. So there's a lot happening in the city. So I'm just
there's a lot of feelings.
I'm like, you know, feeling some kind of way about all of this. I'm not even a huge baseball fan, but this has affected me.
Michael?
Yeah, I mean, when I found out he was traded to the Mets, I kept saying, the Mets, not the Yankees? Like, if they're going to trade a guy who gave him such great service, I mean, he was able to push them to the ALCS, and, you know, he's a, you know, the guy that they brought up, and he became a star there, and he really seemed to love and represent Toronto. I think when you make a trade like that, you should try to appease him in more of a way, just sending him home, but actually send him where he can go and has an opportunity to win. And I think that that was sort of a failure of the Blue Jays. I mean, obviously they got a nice package of prospects and things, but when you're in the business, sometimes it's good to actually take care of the employees who give you all that they can.
Well, there are some reports that suggest that the Mets' plan was actually to trade him to the Yankees. So here's how it all went down. The Mets traded away two guys that nobody seems to be especially high on. They got a starting pitcher, which isn't going to do them any good. They're hovering under 500. Who does need a starting pitcher? The Yankees. And it seems like, at least according to some reports, that the Mets' plan was to trade Stroman to the Yankees for two very, very good prospects. And the whole thing kind of reminds me of that guy from Montreal who started with a single red paper clip and managed to barter his way up to a house. Like, it seems like the Mets were actually trying to do something really smart here, if these reports are right. But what that guy with a paperclip had that was different is that paperclips don't have feelings. And Stroman might be right to feel like he was somewhat undervalued in all of this.
Yeah, definitely. Because although Toronto's not up there, but there's always this hope and there's this resiliency and positivity in the city, just particularly coming after the excitement of the Raps win, that it is possible. It's always possible. And now he's going to a place where that doesn't exactly resonate necessarily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you said, players have feelings, everyone.
All right, let's start with the good news. Six-time Olympic gold medalist Allyson Felix has a new sponsorship deal. She signed with Athleta. She's that brand's first sponsored athlete. Good for Allyson, good for Athleta. So here's the bad. This deal comes a few months after Felix published a New York Times op-ed revealing that Nike had tried to pay her 70% less after the birth of her first daughter. This came after other female athletes spoke up about maternity policies in their contracts. Now, Athleta is clearly going to capitalize on that controversy, and signing this deal will work for them. They're going to get a lot of goodwill. And it reminds me kind of, go with me here, of Nike's deal with Colin Kaepernick. They are paying him a lot of money, even though he'll never play in the NFL again. And I'm wondering, did Felix get this deal because she's a great athlete or because she represents a great injustice? And in the end, does it even matter?
See, I'm for the last one. Give her all that money. She is a decorated athlete. There's no doubt about it. An Olympian, you know, like she's got gold medals to boot. I think that what she has done for women, in particular Black women, you know, also there's a conversation to be had about discrimination faced in the healthcare. Mm-hmm. I think this is really important. And her and Alyssa Montaño, when they went public with all of this stuff, it really put a lot of pressure on Nike, which I think is really important because you cannot capitalize off the images of women you do not support. So I want her to get all that money. At this point, I care less about her finishing, her results. The point is what she's been through, what she's endured. And Athleta, like, congratulations to them for stepping up. And also, I will now be looking to purchase Athleta. I do not run voluntarily, but I will be looking.
Well, I'm actually surprised that Nike's on the wrong side here, considering how they historically seem to be a progressive brand that tries to promote the power of women. You saw it after the World Cup. You know, they had a really tremendous ad. And they had Serena Williams, one of their signature athletes, you know, who just had a baby and is now going out there and competing at a high level in tennis. So I was really surprised that she had to take that route.
There are three white men who negotiate track and field athlete contracts. So this is what she's up against, is like three men that don't understand her situation. I also just want to point out again, Nike is not like a nonprofit or an advocacy group. They're
for
a company
who
makes money. And even with cap, like, again, want him to get all the money. But it's important to recognize that Nike is not doing this out of the goodness of their hearts. They're doing it because it brings in a profit.
And truthfully, before Allyson Felix wrote that op-ed, she wasn't probably worth as much money to Nike as she is now to Athleta.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad to say. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed, co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast, and The Athletic's Michael Lee. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, and thank you. I always enjoy being on.